This is a Pinball News production.
Well, I guess the first thing I'm going to do is turn Ron into a liar. I do exclusively work on EM games, and I'm about to tell you a story. This is more of a story, I think, than a presentation, although you may learn some things. This is actually a solid-state game that we did this to. And I do have a very strict code of no solid-state games in the shop, but this was my best customer, who's been a customer of mine for 5 years now, and it was a very special project we've been talking about for a long time. Rose is the lady you see here in the middle on her wedding day. Rose Lusso, mother of Steve Lusso, who is the CEO of Seagate, also owns like an indie Formula car racing team, and he lives at another level. But anyway, his best friend, Joe Sweeney, who is a customer of mine, who was also very enamored of his mother and very good friends, known the family a long time, had wanted to make a memorial pinball machine for her while she was still alive. And he and I had discussed it, and he decided he wanted to use a KISS, because there's four letters, KISSROSE, and we could easily adapt it. And we started talking about it in probably January, February of 2008. Well, unfortunately, Rose passed away in the summer of 2008, and Joe never had the opportunity to make the game while she was alive. Turns out, his buddy Steve got engaged and was going to be married on May 2nd, or actually May 3rd of this year. And Joe, at around 4:30 on April 16th, had this wonderful idea that he could give this custom pinball machine to them as a present. So I got a call a little after 5, laying this thing out, saying, listen, I want to take a KISS game, and I want to do the Rose machine. Can we do it by May 2nd? Now keep in mind, it's April 16th. So always wanted to be up for a challenge, I said, let me make some calls. So I got on the phone and called all the appropriate people, Wade Krause, Dirty Donnie, the only guys I knew who could really help me pull this off. And everybody was in. Everybody's schedule just happened to be open and was ready to do it and was excited about doing it. So I called Joe back and I said, listen, we all have to give up our lives for 2 weeks to do this. It's not going to be easy. In fact, I can't even guarantee you we can do it. And he said, I don't care. Do it. And I said, okay, let's do it. So didn't have a thing in the shop yet. Didn't have a KISS pinball machine. Didn't have anything. So I'll go through kind of the story of, it probably won't be chronological necessarily, but I'll hit the high points and you'll get a feel for what we went through in that 2 weeks to make this machine happen. And I'll let the story fill in the high points. The cabinet, the first thing we did was I had to dash to Vallejo to pick up a KISS pinball machine from Don Hiley, bring it back, strip it down, you know, do all the repair to the cabinet, Bondo it, primer it, and get it ready for painting. What you see on the right here is one of the stencil layers for the portraits that we did across the side of the cabinet. Rose is at the far end there, then her husband, then Steve is the first son that you see there, and then the other two. And the hideous birthmarks you see on their face are due to the stenciling. There's actually 14 different layers of stencil that he does to do this photorealistic stuff that you'll see in a minute that's just really astounding. And it's a local artist named Adam Feibelman, and he's a stencil artist that does stuff that you just can't even believe. So as we go through, you'll see more of the process of him doing this and how he brings this stuff out to look like a photo with Krylon paint. It's really amazing. So here we have, that's Adam right down there on the left, working in our paint room, getting the stencils ready. You can see up there an almost complete set of portraits that he did. And the side portrait there of Rose that we put on the side of the head, on both sides of the head. And down here you can see about halfway through the stenciling process. And you can see, you can't even really see what's there yet. I mean, while he was doing it, I'd come in and look, and it's just like, it looks like you've already screwed it up. You know, it just didn't look like he was ever going to get there. But I put my faith in him, and he pulled it off with flying colors. And it's really astounding what this man did in 3 days. He actually took the pictures, scanned them in, printed them out, and cut 14 layers of stencils for every single picture you see. And there's a whole side of the cabinet we haven't seen yet of this rose opening up that's really, really incredible. All right, here we go, a little bit further into the process. You can see there, that's pretty much the same level he was at on the previous one. You see, he starts with a black background and builds off of that, and he layers it in this really, really amazing fashion that brings it out to this, that's the finished product there, to this photorealistic effect. And as you can look at that, you can see you can't tell that that's painted with Krylon paint. But after he finished, what we did is we took it to a guy over in Richmond, and we had it professionally clear coated, had an automotive clear coat put on the cabinet to preserve it. All right, this is the other side of the cabinet, which we wanted to do in opening rows of different colors. And again, this took, I think these actually took 15 or 16 layers. These were really complex. And that's Adam on the left up there, and that's my staff artist, Tyler, who was assisting him in the process to get the cabinet done. All right, a few of the things we had to do to make this work. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the KISS game, but up at the top of the back glass, you have the letters KISS that kind of light up and do fancy things. We wanted that to say rose, but as you can see over here, the way they segmented it out, they have a very thin, a very narrow, I should say, space for the eye in KISS. So I had to make a custom light frame and put it up in here. And you can see I had to put some extra lights in and wire them in so that we had the R-O-S-E lit properly and had the correct spacing for the letters. All right. And here's the play. First of all, let me take a second. I just want to apologize. This presentation was done much in the spirit of the machine, very quickly. I had to, and a lot of it's not in the best order, but I was flying back and forth actually across the country this week. It's been a crazy schedule, so this was actually put together in the last 12 hours. So I apologize for kind of the scattered nature of the pictures. But anyway, this is the play field, and what we literally did is we called Marco, and I said, listen, I need a KISS play field, and I need it tomorrow. This is Thursday, the day after Joe had called me and said, we need to do this. And he actually balked a little bit when I told him what we were doing, because he said, well, you know, there's not many of these, and people want to restore their KISS games. And I said, well, I go, this KISS game is going to go this direction regardless, and we want to use a brand new play field. There's a lot of reasons you want to use a brand new play field for a project like this, because A, the wood doesn't stay perfectly flat, your inserts sink, and you just get some things that make it really difficult to come out with a finished product that has the quality that we were looking for. So after some coercion and reminding him that he was about to sell a play field, he agreed to send it overnight. So I had him send it directly to Donnie because we really did not have time for me to get the play field and take it over to Donnie. I mean, the schedule was really that tight. So I had him ship it directly over to Donnie. He painted this, had it clear coated, and had it back to me by the following Thursday. So in 1 week, we ended up with that. And then you see me there on the play field stand starting to assemble the various components. And there's a look at the back after the wire harness and everything had been moved over. And we upgraded all the boards. That's a new light socket board, all the driver boards, the MPU boards, the displays, everything was replaced. All the coils were replaced. Anything that was available that was new was replaced. There's me getting the play field a little bit further along. And over on the right, there's Donnie also painted the apron. And Lusso was her married name. Russo up in the right-hand corner of the apron was her maiden name, so we wanted to incorporate that. And this was really like on the fly. We had a meeting, and we had one of Steve's brothers there who knew what was going on telling us what his mom liked. And as he would think of things, he would call Joe and say, oh, yeah, she really likes shoes, or she really likes hats. And I would have to call Donnie or call someone and go, can you incorporate hats? Can you find a way to do, you know, can you put Malamars on it somewhere, which we did. And she loved Malamars. So it was a really, like, as the thing went on, it kept changing. And the changes that were made and the timing of them were all made was really kind of magical, how everything just kind of fell into place. And one of the things we did is we took the font that Donnie had used to paint Rose on the play field, and I had Tyler go and take four new blank drop targets and hand paint Rose instead of KISS on the drop targets so that we'd have it match the font. So that came out really nice. All right, one of the nice touches we did, too, is you can see the pop bumper caps up there have a silhouette silk screened onto them of Rose, and that was done by Wade Krause. Almost all the magic stuff here was done by either Donnie or Wade Krause. Wade Krause, who I don't know how many of you know or are familiar with his work, can make play fields, back glasses, plastics, and things like that. And we had a company in San Francisco lay out the artwork for the things that Rose loved, and we had Wade make them into plastics. I'll hand these around if you want to take a look at them and scrutinize the quality. It's quite high. It's Wade Krause. If you want to stop by my booth, you can see a couple of the play fields. He's made a Knockout and a Kings and Queens. They're very, very nice. That's a picture of the back box, so that's a mistake on my part. I apologize. There's the finished play field lit up down there. And if you look at it, you can recognize that it's the KISS play field, but there's really absolutely no remnant of the KISS theme left on this game at all. I mean, we completely, completely changed it. So there we have the spinner up there with Gene Simmons. And that presented an interesting challenge because we wanted to do a rose. So we had Wade make these decals of a rose with a black outline. And when you hit the spinner, it adds the color. So you'll have just a black and white rose. You hit the spinner, and all of a sudden it's a pink rose. And on the other side, it suddenly becomes a yellow rose. So that was a very nice touch. And it was along the same time that we did that that I came up with the idea to do these custom coin entrance plastics. I figured we had Wade Krause at our disposal. This would be like sleepwalking to him. So we incorporated that, which then led to, well, why don't we do custom tokens, too, and put token acceptors in it? So I was like, okay, let's do that. So we got more resources and said, go make tokens and get those ready. And now we're barreling down on like 10 days into the project, and we've got a week left to get it done. So let me hand this stuff around so you can touch it and feel it and see the material it's made out of. So that's what we started with, and we ended up with a really nice colored rose when you hit the target. About, I think it was a week, right about when I got the playfield, Joe called me and said, hey, great news. I just found out she loves Sinatra. Throw that in there. So I went, okay, I'll throw that in there. So I got to work, and I came up with a little circuit that I cobbled together there on the right that every time the ball drains, it plays a 20-second clip of one of her five favorite Sinatra songs. And then I put a little switch in so that you can either have it do it when the ball drains or when you hit the start button. So that was kind of a neat little thing. And I put a little circuit in so that when the Sinatra starts playing, it actually takes the KISS sound speaker out of the circuit. So I had discrete speakers for each sound, for the KISS sounds and for the Sinatra sounds. And I would just open the circuit to the KISS speaker while Sinatra was playing so you wouldn't get any overlap. And it actually worked out quite well. It was actually very, that was like the last thing that actually came together and worked. And then we got in there. Down at the bottom here, you see the old clear plastics that help guide the ball that sit underneath the actual artwork plastics. And it took a little finagling to get everything to sit right and get everything to press together right and get registered correctly. But we got there and got it all together. But it was a lot of late nights and a lot of that one's wrong, throw it away. Luckily, Wade made 10 of everything just because he knew it was going to be like very quick and dirty and things might break or get destroyed. And it was a good thing because a few things broke and got destroyed. All right, this, unfortunately, you can't see this too well. My abilities as a photographer are incredibly limited. But this is a brand new Bally Coin door shell that we got from Marco, and we had Rose inscribed in some really nice script here. So that was a nice touch because it really looked new because it was. And we buffed it up and had that inscribed. And there you can see the result of the side art that Adam put on the machine. And you can see the shine. Oh, there's Wade standing behind it, actually. He's a little dark there. But you can see the reflection there, the really glossy effect that the clear coat gives us. And one of the disasters that happened during the project was I had taken the machine, and this, again, was after we got it painted, I called Joe and said, hey, we really should clear coat this. And he said, yeah, do it. So I rushed it over to Richmond and on a Friday, and Donnie and his buddy Ralph said, it'll be ready on Monday. Call us and come and get it. So I got a call on Sunday from Donnie, and as soon as I saw the number, it was like, I should not be hearing from this man. This isn't good. And it wasn't good. They had sprayed the first clear coat, and it turns out that some fingerprints had gotten on the cabinet, and the clear coat acts like a magnifying glass. Suddenly there were these big black areas all above the portraits there. And they were saying, oh, it's not that bad. You should come and look at it. I think we can get away with it. And I went and looked at it, and there was they had tried to clean it, and they took the clear coat off as quick as they could and tried to clean it. And there was this dark gray halo around the top of all the portraits. And I was just like, that's no good. That's not going to work. So what happened was Adam, our stencil artist, uses Krylon paint that you can only get from a distributor. Colors that aren't available in stores, of course. And these guys didn't have that paint. Adam lives in San Francisco. So they start masking it off. I get Adam on the phone. I go to South San Francisco, meet up with Adam, grab two cans of paint. In the meantime, I had to call my paint place in Novato to get the base color that we had specially mixed for this color, because we had used it all to paint the base color of the cabinet. So I had to drop off the spray cans to them, drive back to Novato, pick that paint up, drive back to Richmond and give them that paint and say, okay, go. And I need this back tomorrow afternoon. They got it painted that day, clear coated it that night. I picked it up at 3:30 the next afternoon. And now it's Tuesday at 3:30 and the game has to be in San Francisco at the restaurant playing on Friday. So no pressure. So from there, and I'll just leave this up for a minute because this is, I don't have pictures to represent the entire story, but from there what happened was a series of extremely long days where I was both coordinating with Electric Works, the company that was doing the artwork for Wade to produce all his stuff, like the translight here of Rose and different on her wedding day and different big events in her life and her family down there. And they were sending Wade proofs, and he was going, no, that won't work, you need to do this. And the clock was ticking, and it was Wednesday, and Wade didn't have everything he needed, and I had to have everything done by Thursday night, and it was getting really sketchy. But Wade is, he's a nicer guy than he is a hard worker, and he's one of the hardest workers I've ever met in my life. He can do stuff incredibly fast. And this is Thursday night, actually, after I think I was up till about 3 a.m. getting the machine put together, ready for Wade. It had none of the plastics on it. It didn't have the back glass yet. The spinners weren't done, but I had, and you know, I didn't have the pop bumper caps, but I had everything ready. And I had Don Hiley there earlier that day to test all the electronics for him and make sure that was all solid while I was handling a bunch of other things. So we were kind of on schedule. Wade got there about 9 o'clock that night. And as you can see, he looks kind of tired. And had been working like nonstop since the previous evening and then drove from Fresno to get me this stuff in time to get it all put together. So I got the stuff from Wade. He checked the game. You know, we put the plastics on, made sure everything fit. He played a couple games and then was on his way. This picture over here is actually taken after we got the machine back from the restaurant, because what we had to do is take the machine to this restaurant, have the party, then pick it up, bring it back to the shop, and then we would find out later where it was actually supposed to end up as its final destination. And the reason I point that out is on Friday, we had to be at Bix in San Francisco at 6 o'clock, and on Friday at about 4 o'clock, we had finally cut the windows out of the translight. You can see that the white areas have to be cut out so the display can come through. And you have to do it both on this and on the backing layer. And we got the two pieces of glass, the piece of glass and a piece of polycarbonate, got the trim on it. We're all ready to put it in and try it. We could not get the back glass in the machine. Just would not go up and drop down. And it's 4:45 and it's raining. And we have to be in San Francisco with the machine working in an hour and 15 minutes. So I just finally said, listen, this isn't going in. We'll get it in at the restaurant. We got to go. Because you have to pull the glass out to get the head off anyway. I go, we're going to get this in there, and go, okay, great, take it out. So I didn't even know yet whether or not the registration on the windows was correct. But I trust Wade, and we had triple-checked every measurement because there was just no room for anything to go wrong. I mean, if something was wrong, game over. And now we're like in the 11th hour, and it's all gone so well that, you know, it's like any little thing is going to completely kill this as far as a surprise and being very special to be there at the beginning of the party. And now the back glass won't go in. So we're loading it up, trying to keep it dry in the rain. And the whole time I'm thinking, what if we get there and the back glass won't go in? What if we just simply cannot get the backlash in, because I was in a hyper state of panic because and not looking at things clearly and not really assessing the situation properly. So I had no idea why the backlash wasn't going in. But it's like, doesn't matter, we got to go. So off we went. Go ahead and hit the next slide. So there's the finished machine. And unfortunately, there's a bunch of handprints on the backlash there. But you can see what that looks like here. And you can see we've got the little backlit rose inserts there. And it came out really, really nice. It looks much better in person. But anyway, to finish the story, we pulled up at Bix at about 5:40, I think it was, unloaded the machine, got it all set up, and now it was time to put the backlash in. And Joe, the guy paying for it and giving the gift, I told him, I go, the backlash has never been in the machine, and we couldn't get it in at the shop. And he got this look on his face that just said, what do you mean you couldn't get it in at the shop? And it's like, I go, let's give it a try. I have no idea. And we were struggling. He was there in his tux with my assistant Dutch and I, like, trying to finagle it up, and it's just not going in. And, you know, you can't just cram it in. It's like something's going on here. So I finally took a breath and said, okay, look at this. And I craned my head up underneath, and I could see the polycarbonate was bowed out like an eighth of an inch, and it was hitting the lip. So I stuck my hand up, and I said, okay, guys, push. And it went boom, boom, and fell right into place. And everything, I mean, you can see, lined up perfectly. You know, and I stood there for a second, and I was like, okay, good. And I got a tap on my shoulder, and it was a lady running the restaurant. She said, you have to go. It was like 6:02. I said, okay, good, we're good. And we took all our tools and went running down the alley. And we got back to the van, and we'd bought this big bow to put on the machine. And there it was in the back of the van. And it was like, oh, my God. So I sprinted back with the bow, went into the restaurant and, you know, waved at Joe. He came over, helped me put it on. And they said, you have to go out the front door. You can't go out the back now for whatever reason. So I go out the front door, and literally, as I walk out the front door, Steve Lusso and his fiance are walking in the door. And I've never formally met the man, but he's been to pinball shows, and he's seen me. And, you know, I'm dressed like a schlub. I'm not there for the party, obviously. And I just said, hey, congratulations. And he kind of went, thanks. And went in, and his fiance followed, and I just took off back down the alley. And I honestly believe that he saw the machine before I got back to my van. So I got back to the van, and I told Dutch, my assistant, I said, it's a good thing we didn't start this project 1 minute later, because we wouldn't have made it. And it's really true. And when I say that it took a village to make this machine happen in the amount of time that we did it, it really did. Everybody pulled out all the stops. Everybody worked 16-plus hour days, worked all weekend, and dropped everything else to make this happen. And it really was a very... When we finally got it done, we went back to pick it up. It was very emotional. I mean, he was very, like, just didn't have any words to express. I mean, and I started thinking about it. It's like, what would I do if I walked in and my recently deceased mother was immortalized on a pinball machine? I was like, wow, that's kind of neat, you know? So it all ended happy. We brought the machine back to the shop, and I was trying to get it here for the show. But the logistics and everything, and the fact that it's a one-of-a-kind, very personal machine, and the liability, and plus it's down in the South Bay right now, so couldn't get it here for the show. I really wanted to, but couldn't make it happen. But it came out beautifully, and I'm looking forward to doing more projects like this, because it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot, and Wade and I have started talking more now about trying to, like, actually pursue more machines like this. And I don't know if you guys saw the Metallica machine, but that's Wade and Dirty Donnie. Those are the two guys that worked with me on this. And as for my money, they're the only, there's no B team. If you don't have Wade and Donnie, you're not going to do this. So I was very lucky that they're available, that they'll put up with me calling and making demands and saying that's not good enough, do it quicker. And it was great. It really was amazing how it all came together. And Joe had a plaque made that we put on the back of the machine that said everybody that was involved and that it took, you know, that the machine was made in 16 days and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it was really gratifying. And then we all got an email from Steve that just said he was completely, you know, had no words to express how much it meant to him that we had taken the care to make this machine to memorialize his mom and done such a fine job of it. So it really was a very, very, very gratifying thing. And it was actually very, it was a good business opportunity too, because to do this in 2 weeks, as I told, like I said at the beginning, I have to drop everything. And he never asked me, like, well, how much is it going to cost, or what do you think this is going to take? He just said, do it. So I pretty much took the attitude of do whatever it takes. And before I gave him the invoice, and I'm not going to give up any numbers, but before I gave him the invoice, I just said, listen, we need to talk a little bit because we never really discussed this. And I have a really big number in front of me, and I don't want to just send you this invoice. Let's have this conversation beforehand. He goes, okay, give me the number. And I gave him the number, and it was silent for about 5 seconds. And he goes, oh, that's a little more than I was thinking. I said, well, I got to be honest with you. I did take copious notes of what I was doing each day and how many hours everyone was spending. And I actually scaled back the expedite charges from what you would normally charge because it was a special project. It's my best customer and all that kind of thing. And he gulped, and I explained it to him, and he goes, ah, you know what? You're right. I'll get a check out tomorrow. Thanks so much for making it happen. It was like, whew. So I really, you know, I'm proud of the machine from a restorer's standpoint, but I'm really more proud to have been involved in doing something so special for Joe and Steve, because it really touched Joe in a big way too. He wrote everybody a nice thank you note too, and it really became very obvious that this was a very personal, very important thing to both him and Steve. And we also, I got an email from two of his brothers also saying that they were very taken by it. So that's basically the story of the Rose Project. And again, I want to apologize because I'm very tired, I'm very scattered. I threw this together very quickly, like the machine, although the machine wasn't thrown together. We did take a lot of time. But so at this point, does anybody have any questions about the project? Anything you'd want to know about the process or how we went about doing it or how much it would cost if you want one of your own? There was 240 hours of me and my crew. There was 55 hours of Adam, the stencil artist. Donnie, I'm estimating, but at least 30. Rolf, the guy who did the clear coating on the playfield and the cabinet, probably six to eight with the sanding. Wade, probably 40, 50 hours easily. And electric works, probably easily another 50 or 60 hours. I mean, there was nothing else in my life for 2 weeks. I mean, literally, I'd show up at my shop at 6 in the morning and start working on Rose, and I'd leave at 11 o'clock that night, or as it got closer, 3 o'clock the next morning, to make it happen, because there was no time to rest. So, you know, I didn't add it. Ron looked like he was tabulating that all up. I don't know what he came up with, but 450 hours? Yeah, yeah. An amazing amount of work. And if you look at the machine... And again, you know, my stick figures look like they have birth defects. I have no artistic ability at all. But if you look at the machine, if I could have it here, and I really wish I could, you would not believe that it was done in 16 days. And that's really a tribute to Wade and Donnie and Adam, really. I mean, they're the magicians that made this possible. And they did it under incredibly tight time constraints. So you would expect that maybe we'd get it done, but that maybe something would be lost in the process. But to be honest with you, I circled the thing 100 times. I looked at it up close. I looked for things that made it look like we hurried, and there really weren't any signs of it. So it was very gratifying. It would probably take less time to do it again because I learned a lot about the process, what to do, what not to do. And also, I just think you can do it more efficiently when you have more time. You don't have to press so hard. So yeah, 450. Anything else?
So, yes, sir. I have to ask. So if I wanted one, what's the ballpark?
The ballpark? $35,000. If you don't need it in 2 weeks. If you were willing to wait 6 months, it'd be about $35,000. If you wanted it quicker, it would be a big chunk more than that. Yes. Yeah, that was the cheapest thing of the whole project. Yeah. I think we paid $700 for the machine because we wanted a machine that wasn't that great. Because, you know, except for the cabinet, it's like we need a good cabinet. And Don just happened to have this KISS machine sitting around that he had told Joe, well, let me know, you can use that one. And luckily, I hadn't seen it. But when I drove to Vallejo, I was just like, please, the cabinet's got to be straight because I don't have time to spend a lot of time restoring the cabinet and getting it ready. I had to have the cabinet ready for Adam to paint on Monday from Thursday. So yeah, that was insignificant. The shipping on the play field and the shipping was far more expensive than the machine. I think actually the play field was $1,000 for overnight shipping to get it here.
So you didn't mess with the rule set or anything like that? Right?
No, actually we didn't change anything like that. Like I said, the only idea is I put the what I came to call the Sinatra circuit in, which just, you know, disconnected the KISS speaker and played Sinatra. And I had to add a switch on the ball drain, and I also had to add a switch to the start button, basically, and a little toggle switch so you could switch between them if you wanted to do it when you hit the start button or if you wanted to do it when the ball drained. What happens is the ball drains and this circuit turns on and starts playing Sinatra, and I ran the lines to the KISS speaker through a normally closed relay contact that opens as soon as Sinatra starts playing. The Sinatra clips are like 20 seconds each, and those, when you drain, it starts playing and it plays the entire Sinatra clip. As soon as the Sinatra clip ends, the KISS sounds come back. And they're happening. You're just not hearing them because the speaker's not connected. So it was just quick and dirty way of like not making the sounds step on each other. So once it counted down the bonus, you don't hear the normal squeaky Bally 1978 countdown of the bonus. You heard Sinatra start singing Chicago, and the ball would kick out, and you launch the ball, and you hear Sinatra finish his little snippet. You know, I'd fade it out. And as soon as he'd stop singing, you hear the boink, 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 boink of the KISS stuff start coming back. So when it occurred to me how to do that, it was like, oh, thank God, because it was like, how do I make the sounds not step on each other and preserve the KISS sounds? And I was trying to make this really complicated way to do it, and I just went, well, wait a minute. Just use two speakers and turn one of them off. And it worked right. Well, you know, in my perfect universe, I would have made lane guides that had a rose in the center instead of the Bally. And we talked about that, and I threw it out, and I said, forget that, we don't have time. And Joe loved it. He's like, oh, that'd be great. It's like, no, we're not doing it. And he even talked about, well, maybe we could do that later, but we've never talked about it again, and I'd prefer not to. Other than that, the other thing we talked about doing was actually getting a shooter rod with a rose on it. Again, you know, I need a metric day, you know, with like 30 hours in it. So that there were some ideas that were thrown around that was like, oh, that's a good idea, but logistically, you know, and there was just no cycles to even try it. I mean, it's like, I don't even know who to call. I'm sorry. I don't even know who to call to ask how to go about starting this and go do it, you know, so I guess that those are the two main things. I think there were a few other ideas thrown around, but those are the two main things we came up with that we really couldn't do. Oh, the other little thing that you can't see here is I called Steve Young because we replaced the four standard targets here, which is blank white face targets. But these two targets up here, I was on Steve Young's website, and he had a picture with assorted target faces, and there was two with little hearts on them. Or one with little hearts on. I called, got Gloria. I said, do you actually have those? Could I get two of them? And she came back and she goes, well, we have three. And I said, I'll take all of them. And I broke the first one I tried to put in. And it was like, okay, I got two more. Be very careful. And I got them in. And it's actually, I think that's the only target I've ever broken trying to put it in. And yeah, so that was kind of a nice little touch too. And you know, the thing though, to kind of address that a little further, I don't even think if I had more time, I don't think we could have done a better job. I really don't. Nothing looked shortcut, you know. And I just put the thing together. It was really the onus of making it look as such a professional, high quality job again was Adam, Wade, and Donnie, and they just did a fantastic job. It was my job not to screw up what they did, and I managed to do that. So that was good. Anything else?
I might have been a little confused. When you said you got you needed a new play field, mm-hmm. Was it a new repro?
Yeah. No, it was a reproduction. No. We got a KISS play field, and Donnie took out a sander and roughed up the surface and sprayed primer on it and started painting. You know, and yeah, and that was the thing when I told Marco, yeah, we're just going to paint right over the artwork. He's like, what? You're going to buy a new play field and paint over the artwork? He's like, don't ask questions. I need it tomorrow. And when I explained it to him, he got it. So, and my first inclination would be, let's just use the play field. And back when I did the Wiley project and I worked with Wade on that, he just said instantly, he said, no, don't ever try to do anything with an old play field. You'll regret it. It'll be hard. It won't look right. And I never have. And I've never regretted it because this came out great. The Wiley play fields all came out great. And it's the way to go if you're going to do a custom machine. You really should replace as many things as you can. And all, like I said, all the electronics, all the coils, everything was replaced. The posts are new. Everything basically was new. Yes, sir.
Just a little off topic, but
sure.
You just got back from the Smithsonian
mm-hmm.
on behalf of the Pacific Rim Museum.
Well, thanks for bringing that up because that's part of the reason I am so fried. Preparing for this show is like one of the most monumental tasks that I've ever encountered, and I think Ron would agree. It's just a tremendous amount of work. And it's an incredible crew of people. And we've been working for months, but more recently, really hard for the last 4 to 6 weeks to get this done. And I got this wonderful invitation to go to the Smithsonian to demonstrate and talk about the Wiley machine, which is, for those of you that were here last year, it was a converted North Star that was in the back of the hall that had all new artwork on it. Well, it turned out that the timing of that coming out was fit perfectly with the William Wiley retrospective that they wanted to do at the Smithsonian American Art Museum. So his manager said, well, he just did a pinball machine. And they immediately said, well, we want that to be the centerpiece. And I got a call from the senior curator there that said, would you be willing to come out and demonstrate it and talk? It's like, God, I'll crawl there if I have to. But the rub was, it was Thursday night, October 1st, which was, you know, our kickoff. So I had to fly out Wednesday morning and Thursday, give the talk. Went over really well. And a guy at the Smithsonian actually came up to me and said, so how does it feel to put the first pinball machine in the Smithsonian? I said, well, now that I found that out, it feels pretty good. I said, really? Is this really the first one ever? He goes, yep, I checked. We've never had a pinball machine before. So that was really nice. And then I, you know, flew back. I think, what time did I get here? 10 o'clock Friday night, something like that. And my intention was to put this together in the hotel room and on the plane, and I got so little sleep in D.C. I mean, we started checking the sites and walking around, and before I knew it, it was time to leave, and I had nothing done, and I can't work on a plane, frankly. So this had to be done very quickly, and I had to kind of wing it. I appreciate your patience with me because I'm seeing little purple flashes in the periphery. So the Pacific Pinball Museum has now been represented at the Smithsonian. And we have a pinball machine in the Smithsonian. So that's a very, very cool thing.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we could definitely do another one. And we could do another. We could. Absolutely. The thing is, I mean, I have to nail Wade and Donnie down is the main thing. But that's they love doing this kind of thing. So really do Rose or any theme you wanted in about the same amount of time now. Not 2 weeks, but, it wouldn't. Wouldn't elongate the process to change the theme. That's what I'm trying to say. So, yes.
Do you mostly do, or do you do a lot of custom machines, or is it mostly just restore?
The primary thing we do is we restore machines, and we try to make them as close to factory spec as possible. If you go look, we have a King of Diamonds and a Williams Soccer over in the booth there, and you can see what we do with the restoration, the cabinet repaints, and things like that. But more recently, there's been more activity. The Wiley, then this came up. And now Donnie and Wade are doing the Metallica thing, and there's some murmurs now that there's more stuff in that avenue, that they have some friends that are excited about it, and something about Sean Penn thinking it was cool and wanting a machine. And we're also about to embark on another William Wiley-type project, which we're really just waiting for an artist to be selected because they want to make sure they pick a top-notch, artist at the level of Wiley, which I'm not an art guy. I'd never heard of William Wiley before, but in the 3 years since I met him, I've learned that he is like one of the most prominent and respected modern American artists that there are. So yeah, we're looking for that, and we're going to base the next one on Kings and Queens, and we're looking for an artist. The cabinets are already made, and Wade's already got the playfield layout done, so any artists in the crowd? Yeah, are you a prominent American artist? Yeah, no, I, you know, I'm hoping that gets kicked off pretty quick because it's they've talked about doing the next one. They want to do a wizard and do a custom machine. So it's become this thing now that it's gathering some momentum, and the art world loves it. I mean, that was one of the things I was taken with at the Smithsonian, was that there was over 200 pieces of Wiley's work in this several rooms, interconnected rooms. And of the 300 to 400 people that were there, 90% of them were around the pinball machine. I mean, they were looking at the other stuff, but it's like, what's that? You know, and then when I got to demonstrate it, they were just like, and there's all these oohs and ahs, and it's like, people, it's bells. It's, you know. but it was really neat. And I mean, it was nice to see that the higher echelon art community embracing it that enthusiastically. It was really kind of neat for me. I mean, I didn't know if it was going to be like, oh, that's very nice. Yes, how quaint. But it was like, oh my God, that is so cool. I was like, wow, okay, nice. Yeah, it was really nice. Anything else? All right, well, thanks for sitting and being patient through my meandering stream of consciousness site presentation. I really appreciate it. And make sure you get out there and play a lot of pinball. Enjoy the show. We've only got, what, 3 hours left? How much pinball can you play in 3 hours? All right, thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.